Benjamin Bedham lived from 1717 to 1795 in England. Some have considered Bedham's time, the 18th century, as the golden age of hymnody. Bedham was loved and honored by the whole Baptist denomination in England and America in his day, just as B.B. McKinney was in my day. Perhaps the greatest of all Baptist hymn writers, Bedham and his hymns are all but forgotten today. It's on this exceptional man and his hymns that we shall focus in this paper this afternoon. First of all, let's look at a biography of Benjamin Bedham. Bedham was born in Henley, England, January 23, 1717. The son of a Baptist pastor, he spent his youth at Bristol, where his father was pastor of the Pethay Baptist Church. Approaching adulthood, he set out to be an apprentice to a surgeon, or what we today would call a pharmacist. He came to know Christ in 1737 in his father's church while a visiting preacher, a Mr. Ware, preached from Luke 15:17, "Likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." He followed the Lord in scriptural baptism in London in 1739. And he joined a Baptist church in a place called Goodman's Fields. While a member of that church, the Lord called him to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He soon began to study for the ministry at the Baptist Academy in Bristol and then at another academy in London. The Baptist church at Burton-on-the-Water lost its pastor at this time, and they invited Benjamin to supply the pulpit while they sought a new pastor. In 1742, Benjamin was called as pastor at Burton-on-the-Water, and he was soon ordained to the gospel ministry. Dr. Joseph Stennett, father of Samuel Stennett, preached young Bedham's ordination sermon in 1743. And Bedham was pastor of that church for the next 52 years. In 1742, about that time, he responded to this church's call, he began to consider marriage. And he wrote some verses. Very interesting. Everything he did in life, he had to stop and write a verse for it. Here's one that he wrote about his contemplation of marriage. "By heavenly art, first make her mine, then make her willing to be mine." No, let me start over again. "By heavenly art, first make her thine, then make her willing to be mine. My dwelling place let Burton be, there let me live and live to thee." In 1749, Bedham married Elizabeth Boswell, and she was one of the deacon's daughters at that church. Benjamin was no stranger to tragedy. He and Elizabeth had a very promising son who had just completed medical school when he suddenly died in 1778. On that very day, not knowing his son's death, not knowing about it, or even that he was sick, Bedham preached on Psalm 31:15, a sermon he called, "My Times Are in Thy Hand." And for this sermon he wrote a hymn, one verse of which goes like this: "My times of sorrow and of joy, great God, are in Thy hand. My choicest comforts come from Thee and go at Thy command." Benjamin read and was greatly influenced by Jonathan Edwards' writings. He was a close friend of George Whitfield. Bedham died of a long illness just a few hours after writing a hymn. Well, let's look in the second place at Bedham's ministry as pastor. As already noted, Benjamin was called as pastor of the Burton-on-the-Water Baptist Church in 1742. And the next year, the Lord sent a revival there in which 40 people were saved. One of those converted was an 18-year-old named John C. Ryland, who lived from 1723 to 1791, and he later became a leading Baptist pastor in England. John C. Ryland had a son, John Ryland, who was born in 1753 while his father, John C., was pastor of the Baptist Church at Warwick. John, the son, was baptized by his pastor father, John C., and was called to the ministry. In 1785, John became pastor of the Baptist Church at Northampton when his father was called to another church. And while he was pastor there at Northampton, John, along with William Carey, Andrew Fuller, and others, organized the Baptist Missionary Society at Kettering in 1792. This society was largely responsible for the awakening of Baptists and others to the importance of foreign missionary work. Before that, there weren't very many foreign missions and foreign missionaries. Benjamin Bedham was in great demand as a Baptist pastor and preacher. The Lord had given him great success as a preacher of the gospel. Well, there was a church in London that repeatedly asked Bedham to become its pastor. And he just could not decide whether to go. And so finally he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask my church at Bedham to make the decision for me. And they quickly sent a letter of refusal to the church at London. And he remained at Burton for the rest of his life. In 1770... Rhode Island Baptist College, later known as Brown University, conferred on him the honorary degree of Master of Arts. When Bedham died in 1795, John Rippon, Spurgeon's predecessor at what became the Metropolitan Tabernacle Baptist Chapel in London, wrote in his obituary that, quote, one considerable instrument of Benjamin Bedham's success was his use of catechetical instruction, unquote. In 1752, Bedham published his only book, A Scriptural Exposition of the Baptist Catechism by way of question and answer. A second edition was published in 1776. And by the way, something important in America was going on at that time. The use of catechisms, so very important in the Christian life, is so foreign to Baptists today that even the very term catechism is strange to most ears. I've even had people tell me, well, when I talk about catechisms, well, that's a Catholic term. That's talking about something Catholics do. Bedham regularly used Keach's catechism, but he thought it didn't go far enough into depth, and so he wrote his own catechism. And what he did, he basically used Keach's wording out of his catechism, but he added a lot of sub-questions and answers to each of Keach's questions. Because of its use in the Bristol Baptist Academy, which for most of the 1700s was the only Baptist seminary in Britain, his catechism had a great influence on Baptist churches all over Britain. Two editions of his catechism were released during his lifetime. The second was used at the Bristol Academy. Bedham's Catechism was reprinted twice in the United States, the last time in 1849. And a real blessing is to be had in reading what his catechism teaches about the Trinity in the Godhead. He is remembered today primarily as a hymn writer, but in his own day, he was recognized as an outstanding preacher of the gospel. Robert Hall described Bedham as, on many accounts, an extraordinary person and was universally admired as a preacher. John Rippon said that Bedham's sermonizing was his forte. John Newton described Bedham as an admirable preacher, simple, savory, weighty. A century later, William Cathcart in the Baptist Encyclopedia wrote, "In his preaching, he laid Christ at the foundation of religion as the support of it. He placed him at the top of it as its glory, and he made him the center of it to unite all its parts and to add beauty and vigor to the whole." After Bedham's death, three volumes of his sermons were published, two volumes 10 years after his death, and a third volume in 1835. Now I want us to spend a goodly amount of time considering the content of Bedham's hymns. Benjamin Bedham is best known in history as a writer of Christian hymns. In composing hymns, he was not writing generally for universal use. He was writing specifically for local church use, and not just any local church, but his local church. The amazing thing for me is that he wrote a hymn for every sermon that he preached, and it was to be sung by the congregation at the close of that sermon so that people could recall his message during the week in musical form. Now, that's an amazing thing for me. Every Sunday morning, he had a new hymn that went with his sermon and which he expected his people to sing during the week in order to keep his message in mind. His hymns were intended as a summary of the sermon on that particular day. He intended in those hymns, that the points of his sermons could be recalled for application to life during the coming week. Psalm 149:1 that we read this morning says we are to sing unto the Lord a new song. And he was the epitome of this command in the Scriptures. This new song can mean a song newly composed for a special occasion. And he did that every Sunday. And this is one way that Bedham understood this verse. When he wrote a hymn to be sung at the opening of a new meeting house for his church. Once, on recovering from a severe illness, he wrote this hymn. "If I must die, oh, let me die trusting in Jesus' blood, that blood which hath atonement made and reconciles to God. If I must die, then let me die in peace with all mankind and change these fleeting joys below for pleasures more refined. If I must die, as die I must, let some kind seraph come and bear me on his friendly wing to my celestial home. Of Canaan's land, from Pisgah's top, may I but have a view. Though Jordan should o'erflow its banks, I'll boldly venture through." One writer has described Bedham as an indefatigable sermon summarizer in verse. That is a $2 word that means untiring. An untiring sermon summarizer in verse. Another writer, whose name was Montgomery, analyzed Bedham's hymns like this, quote, "Very agreeable as well as impressive, being for the most part brief and pithy. A single idea, always important, always often striking, and sometimes ingeniously brought out, not with a mere point at the end, but with the terseness and simplicity of the Greek epigram, constitutes the basis of each piece. One authority described Benjamin Bedham's hymns as having a style which is usually recognizable, a clarity of line and simplicity of image. Bedham's hymns have great doctrinal content applied to practical experience, especially the doctrines of grace. He wrote three hymns to celebrate the Trinity. One verse of one of these goes like this: Glory to the three eternal, yet the great mysterious one, author of bliss, author of all bliss supernal, but be unceasing honors due. A verse of another of Bedham's hymns on the Trinity: Ye children of the Father's choice, and purchase of the Savior's blood, sealed by the Spirit, now rejoice and bless and praise the triune God. Brother, that's a lesson in Trinitarian theology right there. You can remember that. You can remember the biblical doctrine. In Bedham's day, there were virtually no hymns on baptism until Bedham wrote them to reflect the biblical view and practice. Here are verses from one of these that someone has given the title, Baptism Divinely Honored. And you'll note he gets several doctrines in here in the hymn on baptism. The Father and the Son and Holy Ghost unite to shed a luster o'er this great mysterious rite, to Jordan's stream and honors given by Christ the Lord of earth and heaven. 'Twas there he found the grave and rose again to view, and now to us he shows the way we should pursue. Buried with him we rise to endless bliss above the skies. The Father, by a voice, distinguished his Son. Behold, the Spirit too does his obedience crown. To the eternal sacred three, immortal praise and glory be. Benjamin Bedham was one of the very first to write a missionary hymn in English. Someone has named it, Ascend Thy Throne, Almighty King. And here it is. Ere Christ ascended to His throne, He issued forth this great command: Go preach My gospel to the world, and spread My name through every land. To men declare their sinful state, the methods of My grace explain. He that believes and is baptized shall everlasting life obtain. Bedham wrote nearly twice as many hymns as John Newton wrote. And he did so several decades earlier than Newton wrote his. Now, I want us to sing some of Bedham's hymns today in order to get a realistic idea of their greatness and their doctrinal content. And these hymns are to be sung to familiar melodies. They had those melodies in those days. We sing other hymns to these same music scores, but you will recognize them and thus be able to sing them with us. The first is a hymn called Astonished and Distressed, and it has man's depravity as its theme, and it's to be sung to the tune of Breathe on Me, Breath of God. So if you have your paper there, we can sing it. Brother David?
Astonished and distressed, I turn my eyes. My heart with longs
second hymn is Did Christ O'er Sinners Weep? And it's to be sung to the tune of Blessed Be the Tie.
Did Christ o'er sinners weep, and shall our cheeks be dry? Let floods of penitence to greet burst forth from every eye. The Son of God in tears, the wandering angels see. Be thou astonished, O my soul, he shed those tears for thee. He wept that we might weep, it sin demands a tear. In heaven alone no sin is found, and there's no weeping there.
Number three, how great the wisdom, power, and grace. This one is sung to the tune of Am I a Soldier of the Cross, and its theme is God's grace.
How great the wisdom, power, and grace which in redemption shine. The heavenly host with joy confess the work is all divine. Before his feet they cast their crowns, those crowns which Jesus gave. And with 10,000 tongues proclaim his power to save. They tell the triumphs of his cross, the sufferings which he bore. How low he stood, how high he rose, and rose to stoop no more. With them let us our voices raise, and still the song renew. Salvation well deserves the praise of men and angels too.
And finally, the final one of Bedham's hymns, 'Tis a Grace Divine, and its theme is the fact that even faith itself is a gift of God's grace. This is to the tune of Rise Up, O Men of God.
Faith, 'tis a grace divine, a gift of rich and free. 'Twas grace that made this blessing mine, from guilt to set me free. The faith of God's elect is precious, pure, and good. Power and effect to faith prevails with God. To Jesus and His blood it works for life and peace. The oath and promises of God its power and seal increase. So death and dangers fly like lightning from the skies. He that believes shall never die. Faith must obtain the prize.
Amen. Now, compare these hymns to some of the so-called hymns in our modern-day hymnals. There's a new name written down in glory. That's found in favorite hymns of praise. My old country home. It's found in Milburn Cockrell's hymn book. The little brown church in the Vale. It's found in nearly every hymn book in the southern U.S. I'll Fly Away in the Stamps Baxter hymn book. Just a little cabin in the corner of Glory Land. And that's in a lot of them also. Compare Bedham's hymns with one I heard in a Southern Baptist funeral service at the First Baptist Church in a suburb of Oklahoma City. This was a super church. I'm not lying to you. These are the words I heard. Quote, "Be kind, be humble, and if you sleep with someone, be sure it's someone you love." Unquote. Really? That was a hymn sung at that funeral. The history of Bedham's hymns is important here. Baptists received Watts's hymns readily. They loved Watts' hymns. But they almost immediately set out to write hymns with Baptist ecclesiology and theological distinctives. In 1769, some of Bedham's hymns were included in a book called the Bristol Collection. And that's considered the first Baptist hymnal ever published. Bedham contributed 13 hymns to this collection. John Rippon published his hymnal called Selection. In 1787, 42 of Bedham's hymns were included in Rippon's hymn book. And then more than 50 of them appeared in his second hymn book called Second Selection. Spurgeon's hymn book was published in 1866 with the title Our Own Hymn Book. And in his preface to this hymnal, Spurgeon wrote, "Our congregation has long used two hymn books, namely the comprehensive edition of Rippon's Selection and Dr. Watts' Psalms and Hymns." But Spurgeon published his own, and it included 15 hymns by Bedham, several more in the 1883 edition. Benjamin Bedham's hymns may have been even more popular in the United States than they were in Britain. Until the 20th century, Bedham's hymns were included in most major hymn books. Nearly any hymn book you found, it would have Benjamin's hymns in it. As noted earlier, Benjamin Bedham wrote a hymn for every Sunday morning sermon to be sung after the service. And when he died, these Sunday morning hymns were collected and published in a book. In 1818, a book of 822 of his hymns and 8 doxologies were published under the title Hymns Adapted to Public Worship or Family Devotion. And it included a recommendation by Pastor Robert Hall. Now, he was one of the leading, most outstanding pastors at that time, Baptist pastors in England. Sadly, today, the great hymns of Benjamin Bedham, as far as I can tell, are not printed in but one widely used hymn book. And, they're not printed in any widely used hymn book, and there's only 3 of them in the Trinity hymnal. I looked through several modern hymnals for the hymns, for his hymns, and this is what I found. In the 1956 Baptist hymnal, none. In the 1991 Baptist hymnal, none. The 1940 Broadman hymnal, none. The 1970 Favorite Hymns of Praise, none. And I don't like this hymn book. I wouldn't have it, but I'm listing it because so many churches use it. 1985 Living Hymns, none. Now, I want to conclude this paper by reading one more of Bedham's hymns, this time, If God is mine. If God is mine, then present things and things to come are mine. Yea, Christ, His Word and Spirit too, and glory all divine. If He is mine, then from His love He every trouble sends. All things are working for my good, and bliss His rod attends. If He is mine, I need not fear the rage of earth and hell. He will support my trembling hope, their utmost force repel. If He is mine, let friends forsake, let wealth and honor flee. Sure, He who giveth me Himself is more than wealth to me. If He is mine, I'll boldly pass through death's tremendous veil. He is a solid comfort when all other comforts fail. Oh, tell me, Lord, that Thou art mine. What can I wish beside? My soul would at the fountain live when all the streams are dry. Brother Pastor.